This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. You get a different view of the U.S. electorate if you just put aside all the national presidential polls and campaign rallies and look at the 163 ballot initiatives in 35 states up for a vote this election season. There are themes of criminal justice reform, changing drug laws, and two conflicting measures on capital punishment in California. Beth Schwartzapfel is a staff writer at the Marshall Project, watching for political trends among voters who are bolder than state legislatures when it comes to crime issues these days.
Well, the interesting thing about ballot measures is it sort of sidesteps legislators who might otherwise be squeamish to tackle something like criminal justice reform. So you might go to a legislator and say, let's let felons be eligible for parole earlier. And a legislator might say, no way am I putting my neck out on a measure like that. But the voters can vote on it directly and sort of leave the legislators out of it. So that's happening across the country in various ways.
So what is a place that could have a really interesting outcome on November 8th?
So Oklahoma is a really good example of this. Oklahoma is not by any measure known as a progressive state in any way. And so the ballot measure that voters will be voting on in November is one that legislators might flee from in a state like Oklahoma. What it does is it defelonizes possession of all drugs, including heroin. Personal use amounts of drugs would become a misdemeanor instead of a felony.
What about bail reform and the question of intake to the criminal justice system and the ways in which that can go terribly wrong as far as becoming a pipeline for incarceration?
Yeah, bail is the next big frontier in criminal justice reform. You know, tens of thousands of people around the country are sitting in jails awaiting trial. So these are people who are innocent under the law. They have not been convicted of anything. They've been arrested for something. And the judge says, you know, you need to pay $5,000 bond before you can go home. Well, for many Americans, that's just completely out of reach. There's no way they can scrape together that kind of money. And so they sit in jail and wait and wait and wait. And in New Mexico, they're trying to tackle this problem with a measure that does two things. The first thing it does is reiterate what's already law in the state, which is that nobody should be detained in jail before trial because they can't pay bail. Now, it's worth repeating, like, that seems pretty obvious, right? Debtors' prisons are illegal, but it routinely happens around the country. And the chief judge of the New Mexico Supreme Court told me, you know, it's true, it's already the law, but we thought it was really important to enshrine it in the Constitution, this commitment that people should not be held in jail if just because they can't afford bail. The other thing it would do is it eliminates the automatic right to bail. Under the current Constitution, the judge has to give you an opportunity to make bail. So if the judge thinks you're too dangerous to release before trial, all they can do is set a bail amount that they guess is too high for you to make.
Are either of these measures or any of the measures that you're looking at possible models for broader nationwide reform in any of these areas of criminal justice?
Certainly, the bail reform measure is an interesting example of what can happen when you try to tackle the issue of bail. There are a couple of jurisdictions that have gone much farther, and they eliminate money bail altogether. Washington, D.C. is a good example of this, where a judge can either release you on certain conditions, like electronic monitoring, or you have to check in with a probation officer, or they can hold you. Money has nothing to do with it. What folks in New Mexico told me is that the bail bond industry, these are people who front you the money for your bond in exchange for 10%, is extremely powerful. They have very serious lobbying efforts going on in the state legislature. And so the results are progress to the people working on this issue, but definitely watered down and not nearly as powerful as in other places.
Beth Schwartzapfel is a staff writer at the Marshall Project. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.